Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you for tuning in. It's great to see everybody today as y'all start to pop up there. No matter if you are live with me right now or if you are turning in later today, this year, this decade, whenever you are, wherever you are, I'm glad that you are here with me. Let's go ahead and get started. We've switched gears this week with our daily devotionals, and we're focusing on a very big question. We've asked thus far, think about what we've done. We've asked, why study the Bible? We've asked, why pray? And so this week, I'm asking the question, why praise? In other words, why worship God? Why praise Him? Yesterday from Psalm 96 and from Revelation 5, we saw, hopefully at least, that we ought to praise God because He alone is worthy of our praise. Based on who He is, yes, but also based on what He has done. He is our Creator, but He is also our Redeemer. And so again, He alone is worthy. Besides, as I remarked yesterday, it's just plain silly to praise anything else because God is the one that is the Creator. He's the one that gets the credit for everything. Everything else is finite. He is infinite. He is eternal. And He is the Creator. But why else should we praise God? Well, yesterday again, we talked about this in a very big picture sort of sense, the mile-high view sort of way. Yesterday when we spoke of God in the context of His being our Redeemer, again, who has done what God has done? When you think about Jesus' sacrifice, as I said yesterday, to worship anything else, it's just profane. It doesn't even make sense. But I want to take that same idea of what God has done, and I want to narrow our view down a little bit, all right, to look at another aspect of that today, because it's in this aspect that we yet again see why we ought to be praising God. So, take your Bibles. Turn with me again to the book of Psalms. Psalm 103, to be specific. And if that sounds familiar, we were there very briefly last week for one verse. But if you are new to Bible study, then I'd recommend that you start with one of the Gospels. Some people have asked that. I'd recommend you start with one of the Gospels. I often tell people to start with the Gospel of John. But I also tell folks to read a Psalm. If you're struggling to know what to pray for, read a psalm and pray through that psalm, right? That's what I do a lot of times. But the Psalms are such a practical book of the Bible. Not only are they the songbook of ancient Israel, they contain so much comfort for us, so much teaching, but they also point us to who God really is, right? So Psalm 103 is where we are today. And you'll hear, I'm going to read the whole thing first, right up front. You'll hear why we ought to be praising God. Psalm 103, starting in verse 1, it says, "Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being. Praise His holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known His ways to Moses, His deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will He harbor His anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His love for those who fear Him. As far as east is from west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him. For He knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear Him, and His righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep His covenant and remember to obey His precepts. The Lord has established His throne in heaven, and His kingdom rules over all. Praise the Lord. You, His angels, You mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly host. You his servants who do his will. Praise the Lord, all his works, everywhere in his dominion. Praise the Lord, O my soul. And we'll stop right there. Why praise God? Well, I guess we should have started here yesterday, right? Why should we praise him? Because he tells you to, that's why. Just like it was with prayer last week. Just like it was with Bible study the week before that. Why should we do these things? Because God is our creator. He has every right to tell us to do what to do. And we have every obligation to do it. But remember, we're not in some kind of ranking system here. This isn't a hierarchy. Nevertheless, it's true. If he tells you to do it, you do it. That's what verse 1 is all about. He's God. We're not. He can tell us what to do, and we got to do it. Period. The end. But, y'all, as I remarked last week and as I remarked the week before, we don't serve a because-I-said-so kind of God. He gives us reason after reason as to why we ought to do what he tells us to do. He loves us that much. And again, he understands us. And boy, the reasons that he gives us here in Psalm 103 are very, very good reasons to praise him. Again, verse 1 starts with the command, praise the Lord. And then he just goes on from there and tells us why. Verse 2, praise the Lord, O my soul. And this is it. This is the main focus for today. Why should we praise God? And forget not all his benefits. Why praise God? Now we're getting somewhere. Though we may sound a little bit selfish, we ought to praise God because of all the benefits that we receive as his children. Again, I'm not trying to sound selfish, but it's a very good reason to praise God when we consider what's in it for us. To be a child of God. And then the psalmist goes on in verses 3 and following to start listing all of those wonderful benefits to being a child of God. How he heals us. He redeems us. He heals our diseases. Y'all, I don't know if you realize this, but God is still in the business of healing people. I've seen it. I've seen God take scenarios that look hopeless, medically speaking, where doctors say, we don't know what to do. And then I've seen him turn those around. And it's because of God. I'm not getting into politics here. Really, I'm not. But maybe you heard recently what the governor of New York said about God having nothing to do with this coronavirus being prevented and that sort of stuff. He basically said, God didn't do this. Science did it, or we did it. You know, remember, y'all, don't get too crazy upset about that, because God heard it too. And sometimes he stays his hand of judgment in order to let folks continue to build a case against themselves. But with such arrogance and such blasphemy, not only does this fly in the face of what the Almighty God has told us in the Scripture, y'all, it's dangerous. Pray for his salvation. I hope you're doing that. This is a complete side note, but when you hear these politicians and other people that you just scratch your head and you say, what in the world? How does somebody become so foolish? Well, number one, the world does foolish things, right? So don't be surprised when foolish people act like fools. But nevertheless, aside from that, I hope you're praying for their salvation, because these words will stand against him in judgment otherwise. God is still in the business of healing people, and his mercy cannot be questioned. And the psalmist goes on to talk about other benefits there, like God's love, his compassion, his renewal even, that we are renewed like the eagles, right? He gives us not only our needs, but it says that he gives us good things. He made his will known to us. He's given us his word. And the list goes on and on and on. But there is one aspect I want to focus on that gives us so many reasons to praise God. And it's found there in verse 3. Again, verse 3 says, who forgives all your sins. Throughout the rest of the psalm, we learn more about this, as we've already read, that God is compassionate, that he's gracious, he's slow to anger, abounding in love. That's what verse 8 says. Verse 10, he does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. Whew! Let me tell you something. This is the truth, y'all. I tell you what, I know what I've got coming based on my actions, at least in as much as I can, based on my selfishness, based on my twisted sense of self-gratification, self-importance, and self-protection. And what I've got coming is not good. But y'all, this is all the more reason to praise God for His mercy, for His grace, for His forgiveness. Verse 13, again, I'm going to read verse 13. It says, as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him. This is how much God loves us. This is His compassion for us on display. And why is God this way? Verse 14, for He knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. I talked about this last week as to why we ought to pray, but do you fully appreciate what's really being said here? Let me answer for you. No, you don't. And I don't either. We don't fully appreciate verse 14 and what it says, because it's impossible for us to fully appreciate who God is, just how magnificent God is. We can't grasp how glorious He is, how wonderful, how powerful. We can think about it all day, every day, until the day we die or until Jesus comes back. And on this side of eternity, with fallen minds and with finite reasoning, we will not fully grasp just how amazing God is. And because of that, we're not going to fully appreciate how incredible verse 14 is, that God, in all of His splendor and majesty and power, that He remembers us, that He looks on us with compassion and care, remembering who we are, knowing us better than we even know ourselves. And thus, instead of giving us what we deserve, we receive mercy and grace and compassion and good things. And He does this because He remembers who we are. That we're just dust. And that is what we are. If we live to be 100 years old, if we become the most powerful leader on the face of the earth, what is that compared to God in eternity? After all, listen to verses 15 and 16 again. They say, as for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. Y'all, I'm not trying to be morbid. I'm just keeping it real with you, right? I have the great blessing of visiting all sorts of folks at Old Providence, and it never ceases to amaze me. Even with our oldest congregation members, they speak of their youth like it was yesterday. It doesn't matter if they're 95, 100, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter at all. Because that's how quick time is, you see, and y'all know it. It's almost June. Well, maybe not almost June, but we're already through May. I mean, you know, time moves so quickly. We're not eternal. But God is. And again, why should we praise Him? This is why. Though we are finite creatures, God's love is infinite. Verse 17. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear Him, and His righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep His covenant and remember to obey His precepts. The Lord has established His throne in heaven, and His kingdom rules over all. And then it just finishes up by saying everything, whether you're an angel, whether you're a servant, whether you're part of creation, everything, praise the Lord forever. As I said last week with prayer, so again I say this week. The question isn't really, why should I praise God? The question is, why on earth would you not praise Him? Why wouldn't you praise Him with every bit of yourself, all the way down to your soul? Well, I know why I don't. I think John Calvin probably said it best when he said that the human heart is a perpetual idol factory. We are looking for things to worship, for things to build for ourselves to worship. There's a reason why the Ten Commandments start as they do, you know. And don't give me any of this. I don't have any idols. Listen, it doesn't mean a shrine in your backyard beside the barbecue of some foreign deity. Show me what you covet and I'll show you what you idol. Or show me what you covet and I'll show you your idol. I don't know who said that first, but it sure is powerful. Because it's true, whatever you're coveting, whatever your chief desire is, that's your God. And y'all, I speak from experience and I speak with a guilty conscience. Because I know I'm guilty of this, but I also speak with a free conscience because I know I've been forgiven, because that's just who God is. This way, this thing that He does only further enunciates why we ought to praise God. He's merciful. He understands us, and He sent His one and only Son to purchase our redemption, to make us alive in Himself. not slaves to sin, but alive in Christ to make us new. Let me encourage you to dwell on these things. Really, think about these things. If you know God, contemplate these. Dwell on His power. Dwell on His strength and His majesty and that He loves you so much. And if you don't know Him, this mercy can be yours. This forgiveness, this newness can be yours, but only in Jesus. If you want to talk, write me, call me, and we'll talk. Let me close this in prayer. Our Father, I thank You for everybody that is here right now or will be here or even those that can't tune in. I thank You for the fact that You value us so much. I thank You for Your mercy and for Your love. And I thank You that when we are wondering why we ought to praise You, we need look only to the benefits that we receive in You. Give us grateful hearts, Father, and use that gratitude in our lives to motivate us to live lives of gratitude, serving You not because we must, but because we can, because we may. And we give You the praise and the honor and the glory for this. Now go with us throughout the day that lies ahead. Give us protection, but also give us purpose. Give us a sense of calling and help us to be sensitive to Your Spirit. And I pray it in Christ's name. Amen. Well, thank you for joining me this morning. I'll be back tomorrow morning, Lord willing, at 7 a.m. Or if you find this later on today, I look forward to running across you sometime tomorrow. But until then, may the Lord bless you richly.